We're teenagers. Oh, there we go. Yeah, we're alive. It's good to be in church. I can remember, dear, I can remember when I was a teenager. I don't know who said that, but no, I can. I can remember when I was a teenager. And some of my mates got an Avenger, a little car, about a 1200, 1600, something like that. And they took out the motor and they put in this massive V8. They realised that the car couldn't support it. They had to rebuild all the suspension. And when they did that, they realised that they couldn't put the grill back on, so they had to build the nose of it out. And I went around and saw this little car with this massive engine that was ridiculous. And as soon as they started it, they'd wear the tyres out straight away. And I'm pretty sure, I can't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't long before it was in a bank or in a tree or something. It was just insanely too powerful. And anyone notice the speakers here this morning? Oh my goodness. Look at the size of these things. You know that they've got them on the lowest setting because if they turn them up, your faces would melt. This is like the V8 engine in that little Avenger. This is like, you know, total 100% overkill. If we turn these up, we could actually get the people in Waifatu to hear the sermon this morning and they wouldn't have to have it broadcast. And so the reason we've got those is that we're doing a combined service at an intermediate, and we're creating the guys are doing the sound and they're trying it out this morning. So we are guinea pigs. Everybody say guinea pigs. Which is like a lab rat, but I didn't want to call you a rat, so you're a guinea pig instead. So here we go. Let's just pray and commit God's word and pray for it right now. Lord, we do ask that this morning we would take away something fresh, not just knowledge, Lord. I pray this morning that we would take away, Lord, a greater depth of our relationship with you, because your word is life. Lord, your word is truth. And if we want truth, Lord, and we want your word, Father God, it is not it's not a thing, it's not a piece of writing on a paper, Father God. We thank you that your word is the person of Jesus. And that's what we want this morning. We want you. We ask, Lord, that you would do this, that you would move through your word, Lord, that we would connect with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're out in the mother's room this morning without visual, you won't be able to see me, but you'll be able to hear me. And also for the podcast, I'm just going to try. I've got some illustrations this morning, so I'll need to explain what's happening. And I wanted to start off by talking about a man by the name of Bruno Isaac. And his name is, his nickname was Bruno. He wrote a book and about his life experience. He's a Kiwi. And Bruno was a mongrel mob member, and he was fully involved. He grew up in gangs, and you know, if you ever heard one of those stories about someone that's had just a dreadful background and then they got converted, they become a Christian, and well, this is one of those stories. And it's just a shocking insight into just a dreadful lifestyle that he was involved in. It was just dreadful. It was terrible. And what happened with this man is that he found Christ and he became a Christian and he got on fire for God and his life began to change. And you know, now if you met him, you know, you'd realize that you're talking to someone covered in tattoos and he's got a moko and everything to do with the background that he had, but now he's fully on fire for God. But in his story, he talks about how it didn't just happen immediately, that there was a process that took place. It was actually a process. It was a process of God changing him. And it took many years. It took years for him to actually come to a place of being what you would call a reasonably well-balanced sort of person. It didn't happen instantaneously. In fact, there were times when he was going down and with his old mates and his old friends, and he was doing things, getting into the stuff he used to get into, and he had an amazing encounter with God, where God spoke to him. In his story, he says, God spoke to me audibly. And so what happened is that he heard God say, if you go down this pathway, you will go back to prison. And he said, God, what should I do? He said, I want you to follow me. And he did. And so, I mean, not all of us have experiences like this, but he had an encounter, an amazing encounter with God. Truly remarkable story. And so God is in the business of taking something that is broken and fixing it. He takes us. I mean, we wouldn't liken ourselves to that fellow if we looked at his background. But I think all of us would own to a certain extent that we are in some ways like that person. There is something of brokenness in our world that God's in the process of changing. Have you ever heard the expression, nobody's perfect? You know, you'd say, well, of course, nobody's perfect. And what we mean is that we've all got flaws. We've all got blemishes. We've all got, I don't mean physically so much, although sometimes, you know, my wife would look at me and she would say, oh, you know, you've got some, she does this, you know, I'll be eating and she'll go like this, rub her hand across her mouth. I'm looking at her and saying, what, have you got some food on your face? And then she looks at me and she shakes her head and she does it some more. And of course, it's because I've got food on my face. And, you know, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. We know that. But you also know that in Christ, when you become a Christian, you don't have to be perfect. All you have to do is accept that you're hiding inside somebody that is. Jesus was and is perfect. He lived a normal human life without sin, the Bible tells us, so he did nothing wrong. When he died a sacrificial death, he became a protector, an advocate for you and I, so that when God looks at us, he looks at us through Christ and he sees you as perfect. So you are perfect in one sense, but also practically we know that we come short. Sometimes it's what we say and what we do, where we go, how we behave, the attitudes we have. We know that God's doing a work on me. He's not finished with me, he's working on me. But as we come close to him, we start to actually find that he's healing that brokenness. In the Bible, the word for getting right for God is salvation. We talk about salvation, being saved, being made safe. But the word in Greek, because the New Testament was written in Greek, the word in Greek is the word soteria. And soteria means to be made whole. It's more than just being saved. If somebody was in the river getting swept away and you jumped down and grabbed them by the hand and pulled them out, you would have saved them. It's all over. You're good? Yeah, well, that was close. You could have got swept away there. Oh, thanks for saving me. No problem. Okay, let's go. See you later. But that's not what salvation means when you become a Christian. Sure, Christ reached down and he grabbed you and he pulled you from your despair. He rescued you from your brokenness and from the way that you're going. But he didn't finish there. Salvation is about being made whole, about healing the broken. And I believe that God is wanting to continue to do a work in our lives for two reasons. One, he wants to make you well, make me better, make us whole and healthy because it's good for us. And the other reason is that he wants to make you well, to make you whole, to make us healthy and happy because it is honoring to him. It is honoring to him. God is honored when our lives are changed. I want us to have a look at Exodus, the second book of the Bible, chapter 34. I think we've got it on the screen. Let's get it up on the screen. Exodus 34, verse 29 through to 32. I shall put my glasses on. Here we go. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets, that's the Ten Commandments, the two tablets of testimony in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. Moses called to them, and so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them the Ten Commandments the Lord had given them on Mount Sinai. When he was finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. I'll just stop there. So, I don't know what it was, but something miraculous was happening. He had literally been in the presence of God, and when he came down, there was a physical manifestation. There was an obvious representation. They could see something actually taking place. It wasn't that, you know, oh, you know, man, you're looking really, you're glowing. Somebody that might be pregnant and having a baby, you might go, oh, you're looking so glowing. People say that, don't they? And really, the person's not glowing, but, you know, there's a real joy and excitement because, you know, there's expectation and a baby's coming. But Moses was nothing like that. It wasn't a metaphor. He literally was glowing. He literally was glowing. And so what happened is that they said, look, you know, put a veil over it. You know, we're a bit afraid. Moses was reflecting the fact that he had been in the presence of God. And when we are in the presence of God, when we've been encountering God and coming into his presence, people notice that we've been with him, just like Moses in that instance. I want to demonstrate that. I need a volunteer. Who shall I pick on? I normally pick on Daniel, but he's sitting way back there. So I need a volunteer. Who's going to be my volunteer? And Levi, I see that smiling face. You're my volunteer. Okay, Levi, come on up here. Yeah, come on. Everyone say good morning, Levi. Good morning. Right, Levi, now just stand here. Now, Levi's got his back to everybody. And I want you to assume that you don't know Levi and as a group of people. And I'm up here and I'm trying to describe him to you. And so I want everybody that's listening to this to understand what I'm doing. I'm picking up a mirror and I've decided the best way that I can get you to see Levi is to go like this. Now, I'm not trying to try and glow you out here, Levi, but okay, now just tell me, can you see Levi over here on the right? Can you see him? Can you see Levi? You know, I could try and describe Levi to you, but can you see him over there? Can you see him on the left? Can you see him? There we go. Can you see him? Yeah, we're getting nods. We're getting shakes. People are falling to sleep. Okay. Now, if you didn't know what Levi looked like, and this would be a good way for me to demonstrate and tell you what he looks like, I could get a mirror. And in a like way, we reflect God. Levi's not God. But in a similar way, I reflect to the world what God is like. When I've been in his presence, I emanate something of him and people see it. However, there's a little problem. We're not like this mirror. Stay with me, Levi. He's standing here being very good. You know, your part in this particular demonstration is very, you know, just quite small, but very important, as you'll see in a moment. So what happens is that I become a Christian. I become aware of God. He starts to speak into my world. And I begin to change. And straight away, he begins to heal me. Salvation is a process. We also call it sanctification. It's this process of becoming like a saint. You are a saint because you're in Christ, but you're becoming a saint because he's working on you. So when we come to Christ, we look more like this. And now I've got a mirror that's all broken. There's shards sticking out from one side to the other. And I want you to carefully look. Can you see Levi? It's kind of a little bit distorted. The brokenness of the mirror is making it hard to see what he looks like. If you'd never seen him before, I think you'd struggle to really know what he was like. I think if you didn't know him at all, and he was standing here, and you're seeing the back of his head as you are now, and you're looking at this mirror that's in front of him, looking at his reflection, you would struggle to know exactly what he looked like. Oh look, Hope's taking a photo, Levi. Let's look. Excellent. All right. And so I'll just carry on holding this. You can go and grab a seat now, Levi. Thank you. That man's a natural. He was a natural. That was a natural acting. Did you see that? He did that so well. This is us. We are a broken reflector. It's the brokenness in our world that makes it so that people can't see God exactly as he is. But he wants us to be those that would reflect him well. And so, you know, it might be that this big shard, this broken piece through here, might be something that happened to me in my childhood, an event where I was hurt by somebody. This one over here, this big smashed piece coming across here, and it may be that I had a severe disappointment, perhaps a loss, or for Karen and I, we went through the loss of a child. And so this one over here might be something that we've done which we really, really regret, a path that we went down. And so I could carry on describing the cracks in the mirror that is before you, and you can start to get the picture that, yes, I am reflecting God to the world. And for many people, I'm the only Bible people see, but I know that I'm broken. Fortunately, God comes along and he begins to mend the brokenness. He begins to fix the cracks. He gets like those people that fix the windows in cars, and they pump silicone into the crack and it seems to disappear. And slowly he begins to work on you and I and begin to change us. He's in the business of fixing the broken. And friends, the broken is you and I. We're the broken. But salvation is his process of beginning to change us. to make us so that we reflect him to the world. Now, there's some things about that that we need to realize. For example, there was a time when Jesus came to a cripple. This fellow was sitting by a well, a pool of water. And he'd been there for some time. It's found in John chapter 5. Have we got that up on the screen? John chapter 5. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Jews. Now, there was in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, blind, lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been there an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time. And he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred." Now, just let me explain. There was a tradition, maybe a superstition, if you like. They thought that if the ripples in the water represented an angel going by quickly, if you got down into the water, you'd get healed. Maybe some people had been healed, I don't know. But the reality was, the lame were collecting in this place and it became known as a place where they were, those that were sick and ill. And whilst they may or may not have gotten well, he never had an opportunity because of his condition. He could never get into the water quick enough, and that's what he was talking about just here. He said, "When the water stirred, while I'm trying to get there, someone else gets there ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Jesus was healing more than his physical condition. He was healing his emotional state. He was healing his worldview. He was healing the inner disappointment. Can you see that? The physical representation was part of what God does. We can be healed physically, but we can also be healed emotionally, intellectually, and we're healed spiritually. So healing is a comprehensive, it's a component of God's nature that he works out in our life. It's more than just one arena. This man was being healed in his mind. And as he goes from there, you know, some other circumstances take place, but you realize that he had a problem and it was more than just his physical disability. Jesus wants us to be healed. He wants you and I to realize that there's more in the healing that takes place that he's going to do. And you say, "Well, I haven't seen all the areas of my life that God wants to heal. Seen all the areas in my life that God wants to heal." And Paul, he addressed this. He was talking to the Corinthian church when he said this. Look, somebody who's not a Christian hasn't seen. Somebody that doesn't know God has not understood or heard what God wants to do for them. They are unaware of what God can do. But he has revealed these things to you. He has revealed them to us, Paul says. So what Paul's saying, he's saying that yeah, sure, when we're unsaved, we don't see, but God will reveal them to us. Everybody say reveal. Reveal. It's speaking of a process. It's speaking of something that God will do. One day you'll be just going along in your journey of life and you'll recognize that there's a big crack across your personality. There's something of brokenness in your world. Something that you realize is not right. And you know that God's speaking to you. He's leading you. He's healing you. He's changing you. Why? Well, it's good for you. It's good for me. But it's also good for him. Because we reflect him more accurately. We reflect who he is to a dying world when we are made well. Like that fellow Isaacs, he's become a better reflector. I'm not talking about his physical visage. People would look upon his face and see mongrel mob tattooed on his face and tattoos all over his neck and his arms. And initially they would go, whoa, because it was fearsome because of his background. But then they would see something else. They would see the inner person's being healed. And they'll start looking past what's on the skin and looking to what's within. And they'll start to see that Jesus has healed this man. He's a different individual. And we're exactly the same. People look at you and they start to see Jesus. They look at you and they start to see what God has done. They start to see the healing that's taken place. It can be in many arenas. Listen to this. I want to read to you what Rebecca Heslop had to say on Facebook. Did anybody see that on Facebook recently? Did anybody see Rebecca Heslop on and what she said? Just say yes, because I'm looking at my camera. Looking at my phone. There it goes there. I tried to keep it open, but every time my phone turns off it, I lose what it was. So what I've got here is, you can see, I'll hold my phone up so you can all see it. It's on Facebook, and it's a note that she's made, and she's put a little clip of her 2 years ago. So Rebecca had thyroid cancer, and she was very, very close to dying. They discovered it, and they said this is the most aggressive and dangerous cancer. And had, she was really blessed. But somebody, actually, she said, I've got a sore throat. It was very minor, but somebody that was in the know said, I've got a feeling, or I suspect that this is really serious. You need to get it checked. And Rebecca was, really? You need to get this checked out. And she did. And sure enough, she had very serious cancer. And so what she did is she got treated. And I'm going to read to you what she says. Today marks 2 years since my surgery. To most of you, this is just another day. For me, this is a date that I always remember for the health journey, thyroid cancer, I embarked on and came out the other side. Whoop, whoop. This clip here is of me. I posted 9 days after surgery. You can excuse the dressing gown. The doctors told me I may never speak again. So imagine my joy. My voice was seriously like the quietest whisper. However, I was able to speak. It was a miracle, and I had been waiting for and praying for. And besides, the whiteboard I was using, it was just so overrated. Something I've learned in this life we live is it throws us some curveballs, some hurdles, and some major mountains to climb. However, when we face them for what they are and look back, we often can be the things that define us and make us more the people we're meant to be. It can be the thing that makes you incredibly grateful for all you have instead of comparing or wishing you were somewhere or someone else. Life's so short to try to be someone you're not. We get one life, and it's totally up to us how we live it. We're not invincible. We can't control everything that happens to us. What we can control is how we face the stuff and what attitude we have, and that can make the difference. Some people ask, why me? Maybe change that to, what is it I can learn from this? I hope whatever you're facing today, that thing is that may be getting you down, or it feels like you'll never change or improve, just hang in there. Before you know it, there'll be a change in your situation. What an amazing attitude Rebecca's got. Going through that, she's a young woman, young family, to go through that, come out the other side. And she's right, we can't control everything. But even in that situation, the mirror was something, there was something of brokenness. And she's experienced God's goodness coming and healing. And so in her brokenness, she's reflecting God to the world. Do you see that? And you and I, we can reflect God to the world in our brokenness, in our difficulty. And as we come out the other side, we just shine Him even greater. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, do not lose heart. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Let me just repeat that. Though outwardly, physically, we are wasting away, that's what Rebecca went through, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal. Paul knew. He knew. He was going through things. He was going through stuff. And he was saying, look, don't get your eyes fixed on what is temporary or temporal, the physical. Get your eyes set on heaven. Let the sanctifying work, even in our brokenness and our difficulty and the trials that we've been through, the trials that we'll go through, let us just turn to Him and let Him be the one that heals. Did you hear that song that we sung this morning? Amazing Grace. Wasn't that awesome? Can I have, is it possible to get that last verse up? The one that goes, I can see you now, laying yourself down. Let's get that up on the screen. I just want to read those words. That's so cool. Maybe we can sing that. Maybe the musicians could come now and we can just... Last week, the message was about not getting fixated with trying to make ourselves good. It's like getting the old man who is something of a zombie buried in the ground. And you don't want a zombie in your world because they tend to do, you know, if you look at movies and, you know, Brain Dead and all these modern sort of takes on the zombie theme. All the zombies do is they cause havoc and trouble and they destroy and eat and that's like our old man. The Bible says our old man, who we used to be, is like that. And we can't make the old man good enough. But what we do is we focus in on heaven. We create this thing of called, I believe, shelf space, where if we give no shelf space to the old man, we're giving all the shelf space to God. That what happens is we begin to change. We change not because we're trying to be good, but we're trying to be with him. And as we're with him, what happens, this mirror thing starts to happen. He starts to heal the brokenness, the cracks, the things that are running through our life. Anyone could look at you and say, boy, that person's not perfect. You say, yeah, I'm not perfect, but I am reflecting somebody that is. Yeah, but what about you? You've got this error in your life. I see the old man, the things that you've done and do, and I've heard what you say. You say, yeah, but I'm pressing in. I'm pressing into him. I'm letting him save me. Oh, I thought you already got saved. Yes, but salvation isn't just a one-off thing. It's an ongoing process. He's changing me. He's fixing the brokenness. He's fixing the disappointment. He's taking those dreams that I think are never going to come to pass and he's making them into something that will come to pass. He's the one that's doing it and I'm trusting in him. Amen. Is that you this morning? It's me. It's me. I think it is you because no one's perfect, but we are reflecting a perfect Savior. Amen. Are those words? Can we have those words up there? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, Lord. I just want to read them out. Oh, I can see you now. I can see the love in your eyes. Laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. Raising up the broken to life. Come on, everyone, just stand. Let's just sing this right now. Laying yourself down.